Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Healthy Buildings: How Indoor Spaces Can Make You Sick or Keep You Well by Joseph G. Allen and John D. McComber is a nonfiction book at the intersection of public health, building science, and business strategy. It argues that indoor environments are not neutral backdrops, but active determinants of health, comfort, cognition, and workplace performance. The book is especially relevant because modern life is spent largely indoors, yet ventilation, filtration, humidity, lighting, noise, and chemical exposures are often treated as secondary concerns in design and operations. Allen and McComber aim to correct that imbalance by showing that healthier buildings are achievable with practical, often modest interventions. Rather than treating indoor air quality as a niche technical issue, the book frames it as a core management and investment problem with consequences for absenteeism, productivity, learning, and long-term well-being. The result is an accessible guide that connects scientific evidence to decisions made by owners, employers, architects, and facility managers. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the central claim that buildings shape health, not just shelter. The book's foundational idea is that buildings are not passive containers. They actively influence how people feel, think, and function. Allen and McComber emphasize that indoor spaces can increase exposure to pollutants and airborne disease, but they can also reduce risk when designed and operated well. This reframing matters because it moves the discussion away from isolated medical responses and toward prevention through the built environment. The authors present healthy buildings as a public health issue because people spend most of their time indoors, meaning that even small improvements in indoor conditions can affect large populations for long periods. Their argument is not simply that unhealthy spaces are dangerous, but that the design of ordinary offices, schools, and homes has measurable consequences for health and performance. That conceptual shift is what gives the book its force. It makes building quality part of everyday health infrastructure rather than an optional amenity. Secondly, the nine foundations of a healthy building as a practical operating framework. A major contribution of the book is its structured approach to what makes an indoor space healthier. The nine foundations provide a practical checklist rather than a vague ideal, covering ventilation, air cleanliness, source control, moisture management, dust control, safe materials, thermal comfort, lighting, and noise. This matters because indoor quality is multifactorial. Improving one element while ignoring the others often produces only partial gains. For example, better ventilation helps dilute contaminants, but it works best when paired with filtration and reduced pollutant sources. Likewise, humidity and moisture control are not cosmetic issues, but central to limiting mold growth and maintaining comfort. The framework is useful because it translates scientific findings into operational priorities that owners and managers can act on. Instead of treating healthy design as a luxury or aesthetic choice, the book presents it as a system of interlocking decisions that can be measured, maintained, and improved over time. Thirdly, why the book insists on ventilation and indoor air quality as performance tools. One of the book's most persuasive themes is the connection between indoor air quality and human performance. Allen and McComber argue that ventilation is not only about avoiding obvious illness, but also about supporting concentration, decision-making, and productivity. This broader view is important because many building decisions are made through narrow energy cost calculations that ignore the value of worker output and cognitive function. The book challenges the assumption that energy efficiency and healthy air are in conflict, arguing instead that buildings can be both efficient and health-supportive when managed intelligently. It also explains why indoor pollutants, persistent chemicals, and poor air circulation can create subtle but meaningful declines in well-being long before they become acute health problems. By linking air quality to performance, the book gives organizations a business reason to invest in improvements. That business framing is one of its defining features, because it turns indoor air from an invisible background condition into a measurable contributor to institutional effectiveness. Fourthly, the business case low-cost upgrades can outweigh their apparent expense. The book stands out for treating healthy buildings as an economic issue as much as a medical one. Allen and McComber show that relatively modest investments in ventilation, filtration, moisture control, and safer materials may produce returns through reduced absenteeism, improved productivity, and lower long-term risk. Their discussion of office economics is especially effective because it highlights how building-related costs and distributed utilities are only one part of the picture. While rent and employee compensation often represent much larger financial commitments, in that context, even a small productivity gain can outweigh the cost of building improvements. This is a powerful argument because it shifts the conversation from upfront expense to total value. The book is not claiming that every intervention is free or simple. Instead, it argues that ignoring indoor health is often the more expensive choice. For owners, investors, and managers, this business framing makes the case actionable, not merely ethical. Lastly, a post-COVID rethinking of buildings as a first line of defense. Although the book predates the pandemic and has been updated in its later edition, its relevance increased sharply after COVID-19 because it addresses airborne transmission and the vulnerabilities of crowded indoor settings. The authors position schools, offices, and homes as spaces that should help protect people rather than simply house them. This perspective is important because it connects ventilation, filtration, and cleaner materials to infectious disease prevention, as well as chronic exposure reduction. The book does not treat one crisis as the whole story. Instead, it uses respiratory risk to illustrate a broader principle that better indoor environments can reduce multiple kinds of harm at once. That makes the argument durable. It is not a narrow pandemic manual, but a general framework for designing safer indoor life in an urban society where people spend most of their time inside. The updated framing also helps explain why the book appeals to both technical and non-technical readers. It translates a scientific topic into a practical agenda for reopening, retrofitting, and long-term resilience. In conclusion, Healthy Buildings is best suited for readers who make, influence, or live with decisions about indoor spaces building owners. Facility managers, architects, developers, employers, investors, school leaders, and policy-minded readers interested in public health. It is also useful for anyone who wants to understand why air quality, ventilation, materials, humidity, lighting, and noise are not secondary comforts, but part of a building's core function. The book offers practical value by linking these factors to measurable outcomes such as health, cognition, attendance, and productivity, while also giving a business rationale for improvement. What distinguishes it from many books on sustainability or design is its integrated perspective. Rather than focusing only on energy efficiency, only on architecture, or only on disease prevention, it connects those domains and shows how they overlap. That makes the book unusually persuasive for mixed audiences. Its real strength is that it turns a complex topic into a decision framework, not just how buildings look, but how they affect people and why those effects matter financially and ethically. If you would like to support Joseph G. Allen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.